Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Happy Friday to all of you. Week 27 of 50, Lance Armstrong, the Hustler Casino Live interview. My guests today are Ryan Feldman and Nick Vertucci, co-founders of Hustler Casino Live, which promises to be the hottest poker stream in the game, bar none. Before we hear what Ryan and Nick have to say about their new project, which debuts August 3rd on YouTube, let me spew a little bit first. I met Ryan Feldman in 2014, I'm pretty sure it was. I was at the Commerce and my game had just broke. And I went downstairs to the itty-bitty 5-10 no-limit game, just to goof around. And I brought Garrett Adelstein with me. Fun fact. While Garrett and I each played a ton of heads up at Commerce back then, we never played each other because we became friends instantly. We battled plenty of three-handed and more, but whenever it was just us two left at the table, and it often was, Garrett either drove home or I talked him into degenning with me. On this day, whatever day it was or whatever night it was, in the year 2014, I think, I must have been persuasive, or Garrett was just in the mood to degen, because he stayed after our 10-20 or 20-40 or whatever we were playing broke. I wasn't rich at the time, but I was flush, plenty of money to spew off. Garrett was beyond that. As noted in my 5-part interview with him in season 3 of Sessions, when he got to LA, he ran very poorly at first. And people thought he was just a rich kid. That's how that goes. If you run bad, you lose. People think you're bad. Well, then he started running well, and he won all the money. All of it. Anyways, our game breaks on whatever day or night this is, so we go to the itty-bitty 5-10, as mentioned, which is a $1,500 cap, or it was at the time. And we're a few beers in by the time we get down there, obviously. There's a bar right in the middle of the top section and the bottom section. So they should call that the pit stop, because if your game breaks in the top section, you just stop there, have a shot, a few beers, and then you go down to the 5-10 to punt it off. And if it was between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m., there are ways around that as well. You just have the porter get you some styrofoam cups with ice, and you just make cocktails in your car or your hotel room. Easy, right? Anyways, the first hand of note on this day or night, there's a bunch of people who limp, and Garrett raises to 120x. So that's, he just makes it 1,200. And he was in the small blind, I was in the big blind. And like I said, we were drinking, and I had pocket jacks, and I just called to be funny, right? And everyone who limped folded for the 120x raise. And the flop came ace, king, X, and Garrett bet really small, and I called. I had jacks. Most of the money's already in, obviously. And then the turn was an X, and he bet again small, and I called. The river's a queen, and he went all in, but, I was getting a lot of pot odds to call, and so I did, and he just had something hilarious, and I won. Why this is notable is there was a player across the table who thought this was an act, if not collusion. And I talked to this player after Garrett left, and I explained to him, no, we're just idiots, that's all. This player was Ryan Feldman. That's when I met him. He worked for ESPN at the time, and he really liked poker, and he smiled a lot. He was very cool about his suspicions, and I just, after I explained it to him, no, we just, punt when we come down here, he got it. And maybe a few months later, Garrett was hosting a football party at his house, And I invited Ryan to come over. I think I'd gotten to know him a little bit better at the time. And more than that, one of my friends who was coming with us played more 5-10 than I did. And he had become friendly with Ryan. So we invite Ryan to this football party at Garrett's. And it's obviously on a Sunday. And Ryan brings his laptop and he grinds poker tournaments while the rest of us are sweating, you know, first half bets, over, under, all that shit, right? And it was just kind of funny. This guy obviously loved poker a lot. And then that night, we continued on. And I think there were some shots of Fireball being passed around. And this was the official meet between Ryan Feldman and Garrett Adelstein. And it was an important one because it's just true that they went on to make history together, poker history together at Live at the Bike a few years later. Ryan built the thing and Garrett was and is the big draw. Ryan probably didn't know at the time, but I was in the early stages of my four-year plummet down to rock bottom. And Garrett was closer to me, so he actually had to feel the wrath of it sometimes, unfortunately. The next time I saw Ryan, I think we were playing 5-10 no cap at the Bike, and so maybe a few months after that party, or maybe even a year, and he coolered me and got max value. He got the full double up. I'm pretty sure he had aces and I had ace king suited, and I think it came, king XX two hearts, and I just called him down. And I called the shove. I probably, it's just one of those hands where I probably should have folded, but it made sense to call in the moment. And it doesn't matter. I'm just trying to give the history for some reason. And that was it, though. That was probably the last time I saw Ryan. We stayed in touch, text messaging here and there, mostly to bet on some stuff, right? We both love sports a lot. As mentioned, he worked at ESPN, and he won almost every bet we ever made. It's fine. And then I did go on to commentate on Live at the Bike one time, but Ryan was already on his way out at this point, and you're going to hear a little bit about that soon, as soon as I bring on Ryan and Nick. But the point of this episode is not to shit on anyone else. The point of this episode is to hype up Hustler Casino Live because, I'm too old to shit on people, and I really do believe this show is going to be the shit. Anyways, this week of sessions is called Lance Armstrong because the two Patron Only drops and the session drop this week, they tell the story of my life for the first week of July. And I was cycling like a motherfucker that week. Cycling is code for going through it mentally. So it's short for downcycling. And I learned from my psychiatrist friend, Dr. David Neymark, that we all cycle. We all have good days, followed by bad days, followed by good days, followed by bad days, and on, no matter what we do. And there are things we can do to delay the turns in our cycle, and there are things we can do to short circuit the turns in our cycle. But they inevitably happen no matter what, and that's fine. Just human beings cycle. And some have pretty flat cycles, so they might not even notice it. And some have really steep cycles. I think bipolar folk have probably the steepest cycles. And my personal mental cycle is not quite on the bipolar level, but I do believe it's steeper than average from what I think I know about all this stuff after working in the mental health field for a few years as a side gig with David. Anyways... that's what was going on in the first week of July. I was cycling, as I, will at least a few times a year for as long as I live, probably. And so I cleverly titled this week of sessions, which covers that week of my life, Lance Armstrong. Get it? Okay. You also might have noticed that I said from 2013 to 2017, I went on this really epic, I don't know if epic's the right word, but... In one sense, or some senses, it is epic. Four-year plunge from flush. Remember, 5-10 no limit was just a joke to me. To rock bottom in all ways. I'm actually trying really hard to complete a bigger cycle than just my normal ups and downs mentally. I'm trying to cycle back up in life, back up to flush for starters. And coincidentally, it's been about 4 years since I got on the grind, the real grind, like work on something that might help you come up every single day shit, shortly after I hit rock bottom in 2017. Okay, changing gears here for a second. I've always been a very private person, no desire for any limelight. The opposite, in fact. It would be a pretty big negative for me, I think, if I were famous in any sort of way. I don't think I'd feel right. That's why I've always delivered content anonymously under DGAF, my 2+2 screen name that I picked out of thin air way back when, and I just got stuck with. I love storytelling for many reasons, and I love delivering content in general. I just have zero interest in being known, you know, much less famous in any way. And that's why I choose podcast versus vlog, and I don't do video interviews and so on. I'm less crazy about this anonymity than I used to be, but I don't crave the opposite at all. And obviously, I have no judgment towards those who do. It's just different people have different desires in life. I mostly just want to chill, keep things low-key. But also, a big part of this life comeback I just mentioned is the actual documentation of it, this podcast, sessions. People dig it. Read the reviews. Check out my Patreon page. People really dig this pod. And while I initially thought I would just run it up and poker again, like I always have, and that's how I would get flush again, and I will, stay tuned. This comeback has become much more than that. And this podcast sessions, it's become the key to everything, the engine, if you will. And yeah, we're going to get to Ryan and Nick very soon. I just had to spew because that's what I do. And let me just spew a little bit more. Unlike in poker, especially live poker, there's very little variance in the content game. All you need to do is create fire regularly and then have people see it. But how do you get exposure? How do you let people know there's fire they probably want to check out if you are a very private person who absolutely detests social media? Sorry, I just do. Well, how about commentating on the hottest poker stream out there? Just be a voice that tells hand histories, shares stories, gives rare insights into the game, and makes people laugh. You know, just like I do in this podcast 4 times a week. Not only would commentating on the hottest poker stream, bar none, be a fun new form of content for me to try to master in my own way, but it also might just give me the exposure I need to really take off as a podcaster, so I can finally complete this huge cycle back up in life, back to flush, where I won't have to work every single day of my life, and I can start enjoying my life more. I commentated on Live at the Bike once, and I did enjoy it, but it was unpaid, so I didn't really push to do it again. And then when I heard about Hustler Casino Live coming up, well, I reached out to that smiley kid I met at the Commerce back in 2014 or whatever year it was, Ryan Feldman. And I thought it might be a perfect fit. I thought I could work well with him. And Ryan, along with his partner, Nick Vertucci, who I'm about to meet for the first time on this Zoom call coming up very shortly, they decided to give me an opportunity. And yeah, they're going to take care of me. So starting August 9th, that's when I start. The show starts on the 3rd. We will see if my rare insights into the game combined with my gift of gab can equate to being a badass commentator that brings more people, not just to Hustler Casino Live stream, but also to poker in general, while teaching them the unwritten rules of the game, how to go about winning money the right way, and so on. I have a feeling I'll get good at it pretty quickly. And I also have a feeling that this new gig will actually be the missing ingredient to me completing the big cycle I've been speaking about. The one started in 2013 when I was the most flush I've ever been. And then I hit the lowest of low points 4 years later in 2017. And now in 2021, if you've been listening, all, you know, since the start of this podcast. I think you can sense this. It's 4 years after the lowest of low points, it feels like I'm actually on the brink of completing. Well, if the fall to rock bottom wasn't epic, I think the rise can be described as epic, an epic comeback. You know, all the way back up to where it was before I met Ryan. Even higher, much higher, actually. It's possible. Anyways, thanks for listening to that spew. And now let's hear what Ryan and Nick have to say about this Hustler Casino Live thing. Ryan and Nick, first of all, before we get into this, I want to thank you both for having me be a part of this new endeavor of yours, Hustler Casino Live. I think me working with you guys is going to be very mutually beneficial. And I live for that stuff, that mutual benefit. So first of all, I just want to say thank you.
Hey, you got it, man. We appreciate you having us on. You got a broad range, and it's, and like you said, it's going to be great for us, and we're happy to connect with you in any way, buddy.
Yeah, we thank you for wanting to be a part of it and being so enthusiastic about it. We're obviously very excited about the project, and we know you have a big following, and we know that you love poker, and so we're just happy that you're so willing to be a part of it.
Yeah, for sure. I don't get excited by too many things in the poker world too often, just because I've been in it so long, but I'm actually pretty pumped on this. I've been talking about this to a lot of people, and Ryan, I've mostly been dealing with you, and the way you've like treated me thus far is just, it makes me feel really good about how this project's going to go for you guys.
Well, awesome. Appreciate it. And I just know that having you on board will enable me to beat you in some more random NBA bets and random prop bets down the road.
Like I have no doubt. You're just setting me up. I get it. It's a hustle. Right. What's up?
That's why it's called Hustler Casino.
Of course. It's perfect. Do you remember meeting me at a poker table in, I think it was 2013. You thought that me and Garrett were putting on an act, or maybe even colluding at first. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I tell people this story all the time. It had to be either 2014 or 2015, but yeah, probably late 2014. I tell people this story because obviously I know you very well now, and I know Garrett very well now, and it's just such a funny story to me. So I'll tell it to the best of how I remember, and you can fill in any gaps. So I'm playing 5-10 at Commerce, the 1500 cap game. It's the middle of the night. It's probably like 3 a.m. from what I remember. And all of a sudden, you and Garrett come walking to the table, and sitting down at our table, you take two open seats. And I had no idea who either one of you were. I had no clue. You guys both sit down, and you're both just very, you know, happy and funny and social. I don't know if you guys were, but you came across like you guys were drunk, but I'm not sure.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. And so you guys sit down and immediately are just like sick action, just playing like weird, crazy hands, and like you're just laughing and telling jokes, and I'm just like, wow, these guys are fun. And like the first two orbits, I could just tell by what people were saying around me and just looking at people at the table that I feel like everyone at the table like thought that you guys were fish, like thought you guys were like these drunk guys, these huge spots that were just going to donate money. But I kind of like figured it out after an orbit or so. I was like, no. I was like, these guys are really good poker players that are just playing smaller than they usually do. And they're just like messing around. And yeah, I was very much newer in poker back then. And also didn't know you guys. And I did have initial first impression that I thought like something's up here. Like they're just doing this to get action. Like they're just playing a part. Like they're just doing this to try to get people to think they're bad so that they can try to like, I didn't think like collude like that. I just thought you guys were like playing a bit, you know, to try to like get people up to you thinking that you were bad, like that type of thing. And then I remember there was one hand where it was like the weirdest hand ever, where like you guys are sitting next to each other. Okay. I think Garrett's in the five, you're in the six or something like that. And it goes like limp, 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 limp. There's like six limps, right? And you're in the small blind. Garrett's in the small blind. And Garrett raises to some absurd amount, like
1200. He raised to $1,200.
Okay, so you remember. Yeah. And you call, okay?
Call.
It goes 10, 10, 10, 10, like 1200. Okay, and then, okay, do you remember the actual action on the end?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember I had jacks, and I just called with like 300 behind, and Garrett had 300 behind.
Yeah, and then you bet like 240 on the flop, and then like, you know, on the turn or the river or whatever, he bet like $60 to put you all in, and you like tanked and called it off. And the board was like ace queen or ace king or something like that.
Yeah.
Wasn't great in terms of the board, but like the hand was just so weird. And then he just showed some complete air ball, and you have jacks for like third pair. I think it was more than 1500. I'm pretty sure you put in like 2300 in that hand.
So okay.
There was already, you know, 2100 in the pot, and you bet like 200 in the river or something. Right. I just thought it was the funniest hand ever. I'm just cracking up. I'm like, what was this?
Yeah, I remember. So I remember he left after that, and then I started talking to you. And anyways, the point of that story is that I'm glad I was able to link you guys up. That yeah. You guys have literally made history in the poker world with you kind of built the stage, and he's been the star over there at Live at the Bike, and I'm just glad that it worked out that way.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You remember what you guys called me at first, right?
Yeah, Jersey Ryan.
Yeah. So yeah. They had a friend named Mike who was from Jersey, and they thought I looked like him. And it, ironically, I was born in Jersey. So Garrett saved me in his phone. I'm probably still in his phone as that Jersey Ryan.
That's what you are in my phone. Yeah. Okay, and Nick, so we just met, you know, a few minutes ago on the Zoom call, but yeah. I watched you a bunch on stream, and you have run completely awful in the times that I've watched, especially against Garrett. Is that guy a god, or what's up with him?
Garrett, is his nickname is the Eighth Wonder. And if he's got a one outer, he's getting it. And it, look, let's preface this. Okay. So just so we can keep it real. Yes, Garrett, he'll be the first to tell you he runs so pure. And when I'm playing against him, I'm telling you, that pureness runs through my head as I'm in hands with him. Like, there's spots that it's a snap, and with him, it's just not, because I'm like, God, if anyone in the planet that card helped him, it's him. And, but I will say, to preface it first, like I said, is, you know, Garrett is, as you know, a top player in LA. He's one of the most, he's a power player. He's tricky. And, you know, for the first probably year plus, even more than that, you know, I cut my teeth in that game. You know, I went from like even you, I've played for years, 10, 20 at the Commerce, 20, 40, this, but I didn't really get a poker education until I went on that stream and started playing with the best players in LA. And it took me a while to kind of figure it out, but I will tell you, I've said this before, it is the best thing that ever happened to me. It was very expensive education, but it has helped me tremendously, even now in the poker world and in playing poker. And, you know, I'm a different player, I'm a different person, and because of it. And so, you know, that game was built around me, that Friday game, for a long time. And that's just the truth. I don't feel that's the case anymore when I'm in a game now, whether it is with them or with anyone else, but I still have a very high respect for those players, because, you know, they're the top in the game. But back to your point, yeah, Garrett runs as pure as anyone in the world. He is the Eighth Wonder, and he's fun to watch, yeah, whether you're in him or not.
It's crazy how much Nick has improved. It really is, like, over the years. Like you said, that first year or so, when I was organizing those Friday games, like, there were so many games where Nick was the only non-pro in the game. And, you know, it would be like Garrett, Dan, Zach, Gary, Andy, Nick, you know, and he just kept playing every week, no matter what, where a lot of guys would get turned off and give up. And he just kept playing. And eventually he just started caring more about improving, and he started working more on his game. And now, I mean, it's just the opposite. A few years later, like, now, I mean, nobody is like, in any state, is like, oh man, I want to play with Nick Bertucci. Like, it's quite the opposite. Like, there's a lot of people that are like, no, like, he's too good. Like, I'm not even trolling. Like, that's how it is these days. He's really gotten insanely better over the last 3 years. Like, most of the games that he's playing in now, like, I'm being honest, like, he's probably, if not the best, like, second or third best player in those lineups. And he knows that. And so he's turned around a lot. He's taking it serious. And it's what happens when you play a lot of poker, you know. and take it seriously.
Yeah. Well, I'm saving this podcast, man. I haven't been edified like that by this fucker in since I've known him. So
it seems like he's buttering you up for something, Nick.
Yeah.
Give me a copy, baby. Yeah. But it's true, man. Those guys, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. I enjoyed it, man. And I'll tell you, it's I'm looking forward to getting back at it with these guys and putting these lineups back together. Well, actually, Ryan does that, and it's gonna be epic, man. It's gonna be epic.
Yeah, it does have that feeling. Let's hype the shit out of this Hustler Casino Live thing. How did this come about? Whose idea?
Well, let me start like I always do on that, and then you can put a cap on it, because like this started because, obviously, if you don't mind, Ryan, this is just the truth. This is not an edification because he's my partner and friend, because I don't like saying things that aren't true, because eventually people know you're full of shit if you do that too much. Ryan built that show. That show was on the morphine drip, and Ryan built that show to what it is and the viewers that it has. I don't care what anyone says about that. It's the truth. How this happened is somehow I wound up on this stream. I don't even know. I can't even remember the invite, but however I got on there, I got on there. And after about, I'd say, a year, having the business side of me running businesses since I was 22 years old, I've run my own business. I've been an entrepreneur, and you know, I have this love for poker, but I have this business that runs through me. And so, you know, as I'm playing for a year, I would, you know, Ryan and I became friends. And as we became friends, I at one point said to him, man, why don't you guys do this? Why don't you monetize that? Why does this look like this? Why, you know, so many things. We could go into what those are, but I don't even know if they matter. And, you know, I'll just tell you, Ryan just would put his hands on his head and just say, man, I got, you know, it's political. I got all these partners. I can't get this done. I can't get that done. No one wants to invest anything in this or that. And I'd say, wow, that's crazy, man. And then as time went, we became closer, and Ryan became a little bit more unhappy. He could tell you whatever he wants about that. That's up to him. He can decide how far he wants to go with that. And, you know, it just happened organically. And then I'll tell you, no one, you know, the guys on the other side don't believe this, but Ryan took a huge leap. He came to me and he said, what would you do? And I said, Ryan, all I know is if I'm not happy doing something, I can't be great. So it's a scary thing. You got to make your decision, because he was toying with just flat walking away. No plan, no deal somewhere else, no nothing. It's just because he couldn't create what he wanted to create there. And he made that decision. It took a lot of balls, man. And these guys think it was something to do with me funding him and doing all, nothing to the, could be farther from the truth. With that said, when Ryan left, the lineups became shittier. And again, this isn't to troll any competition. I'm not concerned about those guys at all in the least. I started getting screwed with on a seat every so often when I built that game for these guys. And it just became really weird. And there's a particular person there. I'm not going to say his name yet, even though he's kind of under my craw. I'm going to take the high road. That would tell me one thing, and the other thing would be the truth. And it's not Wayne. And so with that said, I became a little bit disgruntled over it. And Ryan and I just came together and we're like, hey, man, you know, I love poker. I'm at a point in my life where I want to wind some of my businesses down. I've done some things in my life that I'm content with now. I want to focus on what I love. You know, maybe we should go out there. So Ryan and I went out, we met with a lot of casinos, and I got to tell you, the management at most of them don't get it. Even at the bike, they don't get it. They don't put enough into their players. They don't put enough into how big these streams are. Anyways, long and short of it is, we were contacted by the GM of the Hustler, Sean Yapel, who, I will tell you this, not to blow smoke to him because we're working with him, has more vision for a GM at a casino than anyone I've ever seen. Long story short, again, even though that's not the case, it's still a long story. We came together, we put a 2-year deal together, and Ryan and I have been able to do everything we wanted to do there. And again, that's the macro look. There's so many micro details. If you want to know anything specific, ask.
And it just kind of happened. And I'll tell you, I'm partnered with a guy that is probably no one better at putting together lineups, dealing with all the nonsense that these players, like, you know, they're divas, man. And everyone's doesn't want to play with this person and who's not happy. And Ryan just has a gift to do that. And with me on the love of poker and the business side, I think we put together something that's going to be really, really cool. So nice. Ryan, you can add to that. I didn't want to tell your side of the story because I know it's touchy, but I mean, that's just the truth from my perspective.
You pretty much hit the nail on the head with all of that. There's not much I need to add, but yeah, I mean, like Nick said, you know, everything was going great for a while. I was happy, you know, in my role, I had a lot of freedom, and because of that, I was able to put together the sickest games, like those Tuesday, Thursday games where there's the craziest lineups. People were lining up at the door begging me. Pros hated me because I wouldn't let them play because there were no pros in those games. You know, the Friday games were just getting a lot of attention. They were tough games a lot of the time, you know, like those weeks when it was just Nick and all the pros. But, you know, they were big and they were fun. And we were just getting a lot of views. And I would go to the World Series over the summer and people would be like, oh, my God, thank you. I love what you're doing. Like, you brought Live the Bike back and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was super cool. But yeah, it got to a point where in that like peak period where we're doing $1 million cash games and everything was going great, this frustration started growing where we had some two new owners that had come in earlier that year and things changed and it just, we weren't getting along. You know, I started dealing with people who didn't have any experience in business and they, to me, were kind of like why they were in it. It became evident that it was pretty selfish instead of them wanting to sacrifice and work hard for the long term of the product, which is what I'm always about. Everything I'm doing, you know, I think I learned when I watched like The Social Network a few years back and they talked about that movie and they talked about how they didn't have ads on Facebook for the first few years. And they had that meeting with Sean Parker and they're like, oh yeah, we were thinking about, you know, putting ads. And he's like, no, like, why would you? You just create a good product and the money will come eventually. Don't worry about money. Just create a good product, increase the value of it, and the money will come in the long term. And that's always my mentality in every single aspect business, you know, that I do. And so that was always, I was constantly trying to just put together the best product. But to do that, sometimes you have to spend money. But the other partners cared more about making money in the short term, you know, or saving money and different things like that. And they wanted their own personal gain for whatever reasons. And so it just became a lot of frustration. And I started talking to Nick a lot and confiding in him because he was my friend. And he saw some of these things. And eventually, you know, he was like, dude, why don't you just go like, and I had other people, friends too, that would, you know, say the same type of things. Like, why don't you just go like, create your own show. Like, this is you. Like, you're doing all of this. You're the reason why this was successful. Just go run a casino. Like, someone's going to do it. So eventually I was nervous to do it. It's scary to walk away from something that's peak when you're crushing it and when you're like, you know, but it's like, yeah, just because you're successful and just because you're it looks like you're doing well doesn't mean you're happy. You know, I wasn't happy at that time. A lot of things were frustrating. I knew, you know, I had partners talking behind my back, like saying things to people, trying to like undermine me, like just they weren't appreciating what I was doing, all of that. And so eventually I was just like, you know, screw it. Like, I'm just going to walk away and take a chance. This is risky. It might be dumb, but it's going to pay off in the long term. And I had some good people in my ears that were like, no, that's the right thing to do. And so I did it. And me and Nick just were like, let's go pitch the other casinos. And we went to, and we came really close a couple of times. We came really close. But thankfully, we didn't wrap anything back then because the Hustler was the best thing that happened to us. Once the pandemic hit, we chilled a bit. We didn't know what was going to happen. And then, like Nick said, Sean came to us. And it was the best thing ever because the management there is just amazing and their vision and what they're able to spend. Like, no other casino would ever do that. Like, the other show, they wouldn't even pay for one commentator. Like,
yeah.
Me and Nick and the casino.
I commentated one time.
Yeah, like they won't pay for anything, but our vision is let's make the best product and just who cares how long it takes for us to start, you know, making a ton of money or whatever. Like, That's not what this is about. It's about me and Nick loving poker and wanting to have the best show and wanting to visualize something and plan something out and make it a reality. That's what's happening right now. Like when me and Nick first started mapping this out, we said, okay, this is how we want. And thanks to Nick, like he's been amazing at just like allowing me to kind of like put some of my creative visions out there and supporting that. And, you know, we found some people that would help us build everything from a technical aspect. And now like we're starting to see it and we're like, oh my God, this is so cool. This is our vision. And it's actually happening. Like we have everything that we want and we're actually going to do it. So it's pretty cool to like dream of something and then it actually become a reality.
Yeah. I think not only is competition a good thing, but just to summarize that, it sounds like the nicest way to say it is a short-term philosophy versus a long-term philosophy. And Ryan, you have that and you kind of seem like the idealist that's going to make this show incredible. And it's nice to have the balance of Nick who probably is going to, he's probably going to tell you, yeah, well, we do need to monetize here and there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Did you tell him that before we got on?
No, that's a read. That's just a quick read.
That's a great read, dude. You called that one perfect. Because little Picasso over there wants to paint everything and it's awesome because he's really good at it and whatever. And I'm like, okay, like I get it. I've run so many businesses. We're going to split, dude. We put in so much money into this audio visual. This is a TV show type of stream. This thing is going to be so sick. There has been no corners cut and the casino dumped hundreds of thousands into this stage. Like this thing is going to be so epic, but you're right. Because what happens is I'm like, you know, Ryan's like, oh, we don't care about money. We're just going to just create and it's true. And I'm like, yeah, but we're going to care about it a little bit. You know what I mean? Because we got to like have some longevity. So we are a good combination. And dude, like, we fight and bicker like husband and wife, and believe me, he's the wife. And but it's a good partnership, man. Because
it was like a week or two ago, you know, we've already put so much into it. And we're like, we got everything, we're good. And then like guy we're working with, who's kind of like overseeing the whole project and he's putting everything together for us. He's like, hey, there's this other thing we got to get now, and he's like, how much? And he's like, it's like 50,000. He's like, no. Nick's like, no. Like, we're like, yeah,
I'm fucking a quarter million into this bitch.
Hey, it's
more. He's like, no.
It sounds like a great balance. Is it just the two of you that are the owners of Hustler Casino?
Yeah, that's it. There will never be any other equity owners into this thing.
No way. Ever. I learned my lesson in my previous business. Five is way too much. Two is good. We're good. Like we don't need anyone else. And it's funny, like when I first left over there and told some of the people, you know, some of our close, you know, players that we're friends with about it. I didn't make it public, but I kind of like some people knew obviously that I was leaving. And so many people would come up to me and be like, hey, can I invest? Even still, like, can I invest? And I just had to say no, like we're good. Like me and Nick said no, like we can't have any. But we had so many people that are like, hey, I'll just give you like 20,000 for like whatever, just like a sweat. Like I'm like, no.
Right.
We could have fundraised so crowdfunded so much money on this project, it would be ridiculous. But then that's when there's too many hands in the pot and there's too many ideas and too many whatever. Ryan and I are creating and are gonna continue to create the most epic poker live stream ever. And by the way, this is where the other streams better get a hold of themselves, because the bottom line is the old antiquated pay to watch is out the door. This is the Twitter, Facebook concept of streaming. We'll figure out the money. We'll figure out how to monetize all that as we go. We've got a lot of things happening right now and a lot of good deals in the works. But for now, you're going to watch the show live and then we're posting it. Okay. You're going to be able to watch this stuff. There's going to be no reason to go pay anywhere else, because we're going to have the best games with the top players and you're going to be able to watch it in perpetuity.
It's going to be on YouTube forever. We're going to have the most content of any live stream out there. We're talking 25, 30 plus hours a week of content that's just for free that anyone can watch over and over again. And if you want to go, if you or anyone else in the poker sphere wants to like take a clip and, you know, post it on Twitter to market us and say like, hey, look at this crazy hand. We're not going to be like, no, copyright, take that down. Like the more the merrier. it's free content, you know, and we want the poker world to consume it, we want the outside world to consume it. We don't want a paywall to limit that at all.
That's great. I was going to ask you what the model was, if it was going to be subscription or not, but it sounds like you guys are just going straight, build this thing huge and then figure it out once you got the audience.
Yeah. I mean, like Nick said, we're fine. Like, we have some things, we're good. The deals we have already, and we're going to have
more. We're pretty blessed. We haven't even put out our first show, and we have a lot of things that have already clicked for as far as revenue, and we have a lot of people asking us for a lot of different deals and agreements, but we're taking it as we come. We're going to be very careful with our product. It doesn't mean we're not going to put it out there, but we're going to be very careful with who we go in covenant with, and you know, we're just here for the long term, and we're going to have a ton of there's going to be so much integrity in our stream. I mean, again, I watch other streams and I see, you know, I see people sitting at the table still looking at their phone, playing hands, wearing glasses with big attachments on them. That's not going to happen, dude. You're playing this stream, your phone's going in a locker that we have lockers we put out there. We're considering wanding people in and out of the stage. I don't know if we're going to go that far. You're going to get patted down. You come back without any electronics. If you wear glasses, then they're going to be checked. There's going to be no just, you know, sunglasses, hoodies. As far as that goes, we're going to be the standard. We're going to be the rich standard of security, and we're going to protect the show like no other, because we're in it for the long term, and integrity is longevity. And anything you do, any business, any relationship, integrity is longevity. And that's what you're going to get on the stream.
No phones, no smartwatches, no sunglasses, and same thing for the control room. Anybody who's working in production, the entirety of the stream, everything's sequestered. There's a security guard there watching everything. If someone needs to use their phone during the stream, they have to go with the security guard to the locker, stand there, which is a spot that's not facing the stage, put it back in the locker before they go to the stage. So it's like we're going to be the gold standard, like Nick said, of integrity.
And if anybody, and I just won't name the person, but I just had a conversation today with a top player who wants to play on the show. And if anybody wants to come in, they could check out the systems. They can check out the equipment. They can be walked through all of the checklist of what we're doing. So we're going to be wide open. Now, we're not going to let you take pictures and videos and do all that, because I think we're going to have the secret sauce of what we're doing up in the control room. But they're welcome up there. They're welcome to check anything, anytime. We will have an open door policy again, because we're going to be running the stream for a long time. Both Ryan and I love poker. We love the stream concept, and we love putting on a show. So we're going to protect it.
So you guys have answered a lot of questions that I didn't even have to ask. It's going to be possible proof, it sounds like. And that's as you said, I think you said integrity equals longevity. I couldn't agree with that more. I want to hear about the technology soon, but I want to hear first what kind of games you plan on spreading. I saw there's a schedule at HustlerCasinoLive.com. Are you guys going to stick to that?
Yeah, Ryan, crush that question, Ryan. I got to go answer a door. Hang on.
Okay. So I'll go backwards. So the Friday is going to be the big game. That's the day that we believe is the best day of the week for big games. It's the end of the week, we lead up to it. Minimum 2550. The first Friday, we're going to have a 5100. That'll be the goal every week, is do 51 and bigger when we can. But, you know, worst case, we'll do 2550 when we need to. Thursdays will be a 10-20, 20 big line ante, 2 to 5K buy-in. Wednesdays will be the smallest regular game, 5-5-10, 1 to 3K buy-in. Tuesdays will be the 5-5 plus $50 big blind any game that I created a few years ago. 2K min, no cap. That game gets very wild. It's a very unique structure. Nobody knows what they're doing.
What I was going to say. That's the most unsolved one by far.
Yeah. And then Mondays will be our most flexible day. So Mondays will do some PLO. We'll do some half-half, no limit PLO. We may occasionally do like another 25-50 game. And just in general, like that's the schedule, but we'll be very flexible in that if we need to change something, move it around, we will. Like if all of a sudden there's like people in town and they're like, you know, want to play a 5100 game, but they need to play on a Wednesday, then we'll just move things around and we'll do it. It's not going to be like, well, we can't schedule you for 3 months. Like, you know, it's going to be, we're going to have a schedule, but we're going to be very flexible. And I already have, by the way, like, sick game. It's pretty sick. As soon as we decided on the start date, August 3rd, I started booking, started texting people, and the games that we have that first week are already like epic. And the people we have are very recognizable. The Friday game, we have like potentially, if everyone stays 100% confirmed, we have like the sickest lineup then, for that Friday. We have to start with a bang. I'm already planning games. Like the second week, I already have a whole like PLO game booked already with some just like the coolest mix of players and people that have played on the other stream before. And then I just booked a guy who's like a multi-billionaire who's coming to play a Thursday and Friday at the end of August. So like Nick knows how it works with me. Like we're working, like I never sleep with these lineups. Like it's going to be constantly like trying to get the best lineup possible every single game.
Any names you want to give us?
I don't know if people want to play. I mean,
yeah, the reason I would hold off, let me tell you the reason why we're going to probably hold off on that is because we want to announce those lineups like right before they're happening.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this very politically correct. We're not worried about any other stream out there. Like you said, competition is good. God bless them. They want to continue to run the way they're running things. Great. We'll see what happens. But the word on the street is that's not the case the other way around. And I'm going to be careful with my words, but there's a lot of things being said and done that are kind of comical to us. They're a little annoying. It's like the horse that has the horse fly on its back and it kind of keeps swatting it off. But we're trying to push through it because I think there's a couple places that are worried about the viewership going elsewhere. And so we're just going to be a little careful with that because, like I said, integrity is longevity. But I don't think there's a lot of that on the other end. And there's some weird things going on and some things being said. We'll leave it at that. So I think we should wait on the big names. But they're going to come out soon.
Yeah. Okay, so the big names will be playing there, but you're just going to wait. And there's a lot of moving pieces too. Lineups change.
All the people you want to see will be there. Like everybody you're familiar with, the big names, even people that you like would dream of seeing on a stream, we're going to get those people. Like I promise you, there's some big things that we're working on right now. And you tune in for that first week, those first 2 weeks, you watch every show, you're going to be like, oh, I know him. Oh my God, he's playing. That's so sick. Yeah. It's everybody you want to see. These aren't just random Joe Schmoes, you know, that we're just
pulling. And let me tell you something else, if you don't mind, can I freelance on one other thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, yeah, I appreciate it. Of course the players are going to want to be there because these games, I believe, are going to be the best games out there. It's going to be the best production. It's going to look the best. It's going to sound the best. But I will tell you this, and I'm doing this because I believe it, man. I'm going to shout out to the Hustler Casino again on this. Look, let's just be honest. Right now, if you go back years ago, you played at the Commerce for a lot of years, correct?
Yes.
We talked about that, right? So did I. The Commerce, if you go back in the day when you want to play a 10-20 or 20-40, on a Friday night, you'd have six games stacked back. They had all the business. Mm-hmm. But the Commerce lost, again, respectfully, they lost all the business because they lost sight of a few things, and a lot of the other casinos are losing sight of it too. There's one other one that's pretty good at it. I'm not going to mention them, but they're pretty good at what I'm going to say here. The Hustler has not been known for its big games. It's not been known for, hey, if you're going to go play some No Limit or some PLO, you're going to go there. I totally know that. And I'm going to be straight. I had never walked into the Hustler until we had that meeting to ink this 2-year agreement. But I'm going to tell you this right now. I predict in the next year, year and a half, that all the action is going to be in this casino. And I'm going to tell you why. Because A, we're going to help bring it there. And B, the management gets it. They treat, if you remember the show, if you're old enough, Cheers, they're willing to treat their clients like you're walking into that bar, like everyone knows your name. You're a top player, or you're a consistent player, you're getting a parking pass. You're there a lot, you're going to eat for free. You want to, you need something at the cage, we're going to try to work it out for you. They literally have made that commitment and made that commitment to us that within reason, you have carte blanche to make this the place to play poker. The Flint, God rest Larry Flint's soul, he passed away some months ago, but Mrs. Flint is running it. You walk into that place and literally everything they do is top of the line. All the furniture, all the paintings, the velvet on the walls. I mean, it's to the point to where all they really need now is just to be put on the map. And the management there, again, Sean Yapel, he's committed to do that. They're putting billboards up across LA right now for this, for our stream. They're committed to this. They're committed to marketing because they see the value in it. I'm telling you right now, no one else is doing that. And unless they get their act together, the business will go there. I'm just predicting that. It will go there.
That's the funniest thing is you go to, right, it is just, I think they all just went up today. We just got a bunch of texts of pictures of them, but every like around all the casinos in LA, there's billboards up that promoting the show with different players. So it's really cool. And by the way, sorry, not to interrupt you. Two quick things before I forget that I wanted to touch on. So we've been doing these rehearsal games, right? Because we're just, you know, the people have asked like, why isn't I starting it? Why isn't I starting it? Well, there's a lot that goes into putting together the level of what we're trying to do. We can't just half-ass it, just go on the air and not be ready. So we're trying to be ready so that our first show is like perfect, is like top notch, you know? So we have to really rehearse and really get all the things in the control room down and learn the equipment and the workflow. And there's so many things that people don't even understand about. I mean, this is a TV show, it really is. Anyway, so we've been doing these rehearsal games, two things. One, on the phone thing, like, so we started doing that for all these because we're treating them like real shows. We see the cards, obviously. And so we're doing it that way. And the players have gotten used to it. Like there's not really many complaints. Like we've been doing 6-7 hours and you know, people don't have phones. They've been fine. And the games have been really social and action. And it's almost like the games get better because people don't have phones. And they
of course. Yeah.
And then the other thing I was going to say is, yeah, we did a game, a rehearsal game yesterday, and the game was just off the charts. Like if that game was a show, it would have been like one of our best shows ever. I'm kind of mad that we couldn't even, like air it because we don't have our full graphics in there yet, so we can't use it for anything other than maybe some like social media promotion. But I mean, I was like, man, I hope that these games get that all the shows are like this, because this was just like the sickest.
We take for 5 or 6 hours, and Ryan came out of his box finally with his headset on, and I walked up to him, and I'm like, and we were still playing, but we were getting our phones back because it was off stream, and I go up to him and I said, can you believe this game, that these crazy kamikazes, like it was crazy. And he goes, no, you don't understand. I could see the cards. You have no idea what's going on in this game. It was the most insane thing we've ever seen. It was like, it was hard to almost navigate because it was so insane.
There was an all in one hand. I won't say who they were, but there was an all in where it was like bet, raise, whatever. And then like turn, like bet, all in, call. And it was jack high versus nine high.
Nice. You know what? It sounds to me a lot like peak LA poker. And honestly, before the games kind of got ruined by people being silent on their phones, watching movies on their iPads, it kind of took a lot of that gamble away. And people are ready to gamble as long as they're in a social environment. It sounds like you just by looking out for the integrity of the game, you kind of accomplished another thing and made it more social.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You know, we are going to protect the integrity of the game. We told you how that's going to work. But here's the thing. I'm going to edify this little shrimp again is, you know, putting together these lineups is not easy. And we are, you know, the question, if you want to be on the stream, is why should you be on the stream? Are you going to create action? Are you going to talk? Are you going to be social? Are you going to be someone that we want to watch or people want to watch? Like if you're going to come in there and be, you know, just some GTO knit pro and put a hoodie on and try to put your sunglasses on and not say anything to anyone and be on social, you're not getting on the stream. Because this is a show and it's going to be good poker. It's going to be sound poker. We got a lot of just beasts that are going to play on the show that really know how to play poker, but it's going to be something you need to watch. So you protect the integrity and then you come in with just a bunch of kamikazes like that. And you just got a great show. And that is Ryan's gift. He knows he takes a lot of heat by all these players because he has to navigate and sift out the right lineups. And he does a good job at that.
Yeah, it sounds like if people want to be on the show, they got to bring something to the table. So even if they're really good at poker, they gotta provide extra action or be social or bring a following or something.
Yeah, I mean, say something. Use some of your words. You know, something, right? Like just yeah, of course.
Are you guys? Tell me about the technology a little bit. I think a lot of people are actually interested in that. Is it where they put the cards on the little glass thing or what is it?
Yeah, it's the standard RFID table like all streams use these days. So a lot of the streams I think are getting the same from the same company. It's just like you're used to seeing RFID table.
Ryan, are you on a merry-go-round? Where are you going?
Sorry, I'm just walking around the house.
Sit down. You're making it hard for people to watch.
The dog is barking. So
this will just be audio. But
oh, it's gonna be audio. Okay, good. Because I don't know if you noticed, he shakes his left arm profusely, like he's having an anxiety attack. So as long as it's just audio, he's good. Let him walk.
We're using Poker GFX software, Action Tracker. That's the name of the software. We won't get into what the name of the actual audio visual equipment is, but the RFID software is pretty standard that other streams are, you know. So
and I'll tell you, I'll just tell you this: we have the top of the line Panasonic cameras, and they literally are so crisp, it's ridiculous. And the sound and the audio without the mics can probably pick up the show just fine. The mics just add to it, and then you know these cameras we can zoom all the way across the casino. It could read your text. It's so clear. It's pretty insane. And so when we finally sat down, we made that commitment. We're like, okay, we could do this and grow into this, or we could do this and come out just hot. And that's just what we decided to do. And like I said, you know, that's why we'll let people in to see the security aspect of it. It'll be a open door policy. But you can't come in with a pad of paper and a pencil or a camera, because if you were to see our control room, it looks like NASA. It's got racks of computers. There's monitors all over, and this is really high end stuff. And that's where we'll probably have to leave that, just because I just think it's the best thing.
And shout out to our director, Patrick Kern, who I worked with for years before this, but he's like a big piece of this. He's the director. He's putting the video together. He's doing everything for us, really. And he loves it. He loves being a part of this. He loves poker. And he's learning all of the switcher and the cameras and the playback device and everything. And not only that, but he's helping us get our graphics customly designed by someone. So like when you watch a lot of these streams, they all kind of look the same, the way the graphics display, you know what I mean? Like the call raise, you know, the cumulative winnings, they all kind of look the same, most of them, right? Well, we're getting everything custom made, so it's going to look different. We're going to stand out. It's going to look more like a professional TV show that, you know, we have some elements in the show that you can see that we're going to be playing back, like recorded interviews, or we're going to do live interviews during the show. We have so many different elements that this is like a really big thing. The vision that we had at the beginning is we wanted it to be kind of like a if you're watching like NBA on ESPN, where you're watching the show, right? The basketball's going on. But you have like all these stats at the bottom, right? You have the score, you have the timeouts left, you have the, you know, whoever the lead scores, whatever. And then at the same time, randomly in the middle of the game, the commentators, they might throw to a recorded interview from before the game. Hey, in between plays, hey, let's see what Chris Paul had to say about today's game. You know, and all of a sudden in the corner of the screen, you're seeing Chris Paul talk, right? And the game's still going on. And so you have so many things to digest, but you hear Chris Paul. Then another point in the game, you're like, hey, here's a live interview with the coach to talk about, you know, what they need to do in the fourth quarter to get back in the game. And so we have all these different elements that we're using to make it more than just your average poker stream. It's about putting a broadcast together, putting a show together, keeping the viewers engaged. We want to be special, and we have all these things ready. So we're really excited about it.
Sounds pretty promising. Is it going to be on a delay of some sort?
Yeah, of course. So we're going to use a 1-hour delay Monday to Thursday, and then we'll have a longer delay on Fridays.
Okay, nice. And then who else? So I'm going to be commentating a decent amount. Who else is doing it?
So our very first show, August 3rd, is going to be commentated by Bart Hansen and David Tuckman. Bart's going to be here that whole week, the first 4 days. He's going to be commentating. Tuckman's going to be a regular commentator who's going to commentate on average probably twice a week. You'll be commentating. I think we'll probably do like a week per month. So you're going to be here August 9th week, and you're going to do all 5 days that week. Nicole Juergens is going to do 1 day a week. Norman Chad is going to do once or twice a month outside of WSOP. We also have we have one more commentator who's going to be doing probably six or so a month. And then we'll go from there. And if we need another commentator down the road, we'll get another one.
But we were contacted by Lon McCarron, too, who wants to throw us at it.
Yeah, yeah. Lon seemed interested, too. So we're going to talk to him and see if we can get him down here once in a while as well. So, yeah, we want the top quality. We want the top. We want big games. We want action games, right? We want top quality broadcasts. We want top quality commentators. So we're not half-assing any of this. Like, everything, we want to be the hands down best poker stream live stream out there. And we're ready to crush it, and we're willing to do what it takes to get there.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident in everything you just said. And I appreciate you guys coming on to hype this thing up. And I only have one more very important question. So I'll be working at the Hustler Casino in LA. Will I get any discounts at the Hustler Club in Las Vegas? Like discounted lap dances?
If you need anal beads, they sell them in the gift shop.
Okay. And I can get maybe 5% off or something?
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. We can add a couple beads. Maybe that'll be the discount. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. All right. Anything you guys want to add, Nick or Ryan?
Well, I'll tell you, I think anything I'd add would be redundant. I think the bottom line is, we're ready to put on probably the best live stream show in poker. And it's starting August 3rd, man. So just get ready.
All right, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm just super excited. It's been a long time coming for me. You know, I've been through a lot to get here, just with, you know, my time there at the other show, and then the time in between and trying to, you know, figure it out. And just, you know, I want to thank Nick just for always supporting and being my partner and just, you know, helping and sticking with the plan. And even in those times when, you know, there were doubts and he's like, well, are you sure we can do this? You know, and just sticking with it. And now we're here and we're almost ready to launch. And, you know, I'll just say that, like, I don't know if I'm going to have time or the ability to, like, even like fathom what's going on, because we'll be so busy that first game. But when that game airs that first day, like,
it'd be pretty emotional for us.
Yeah, it really is. Like, it's going to be like the happiest day of my career or my life. So I've wanted this for a long time, and it's pretty amazing that we're like this close and it's actually happening. Like, it's, you know, when I am able to sit down and really think about what just happened once we get started, I'm going to be like, oh my God, like, I can't believe this is actually happening. Like, this, it's just, you know, it's an amazing opportunity, and I couldn't do it without Nick or the Hustler.
Yep. Vice versa. Same thing. Feeling is mutual. Like I said, Ryan and I couldn't be better suited for this and for this partnership. And I have no idea, we're going to be doing it a long time and crushing it. And we want to thank you for working with us and joining us on our team and putting us on this platform. You're a beast in this poker world, and we appreciate you too. We appreciate you giving us this time.
Well, no problem, and I look forward to it. I think I'll have some insights that pretty much no other commentator could, because I played with all these guys and battled with them, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Starts August 3rd, and it'll be on YouTube, and it's Hustler Casino Live, and that's the basics, right?
Yep. Just subscribe to our YouTube channel in advance so you can get the alerts. We only have one video up there now, but we're going to probably put some more stuff up before we get on the air. And then once the show starts August 3rd, every single day, we're live and archived right after the show. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/Hustler Casino Live. You can see more information about our schedule, commentators, players, you know, about us, whatever else, at hustlercasinolive.com. And yeah, August 3rd is the debut. And also make sure you tune in August 9th that whole week so you can see DJ AF, who I'm sure everybody listening out here is going to be their favorite commentator.
Yep. All right. Well, good luck on August 3rd, and I'll see you guys the following week.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You again. Peace.
All right. Take care.
I hope you enjoyed this drop of Sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. That's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know. We're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAFpokerplayer. Because otherwise...